The conference is in lecture mode.
Good evening, ladies, and welcome to Sisters in Faith's telephone devotionals. We are so happy to have you on with us tonight. Unfortunately, my partner, Stephanie Perry Moore, is at a conference this evening, so she won't be joining us. You will notice that you are currently on mute. That means that I can't hear you. If you have questions or comments during tonight's talk, you can send us a tweet at #MySisterInFaith, or you can send us a message on Facebook to Sisters in Faith. And, of course, you're always welcome to go to our website, thesistersinfaith.com, and there's an email address there. And if you miss any portion of this address, it will be posted, as are all of our telephone devotionals, on our website. So I just want to start out with a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm just lifting up every lady on this call. Lord, I would ask that you touch them physically where they need to touch. Lord, if there's anyone on this call tonight who needs physical healing, Lord, please bring it to them, Lord. Touch them as only you can, Lord. Where they need emotional or spiritual healing, touch them in a place where they need to be touched. Lord, please let me decrease during this talk, Lord, as you increase, Lord. Let the words that come out of my mouth, Lord, be ordained by you. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to do a little bit of housekeeping, and then I just want to jump into this because I have so much to say to you tonight about God's wisdom. The first thing is, one person on this call will get a free Bible. You'll get a phone call from us tomorrow, and then we will send you a free Sisters in Faith Holy Bible, and we hope you enjoy it. I know a number of you already have yours, and a number of you have already won Bibles in the past. At the end, if I have some time, I will open it up to calls. This is, unfortunately, our last Sisters in Faith devotional call. I hope that you all have had a chance to pick up the Bible, which you can find at Walmart. We also have the She Speaks book that's available at Sam's Club, as well as Christian bookstores, and then Raise 'Em Up, which is the Single Mother's Guide to Raising a Successful Black Man, is both at Walmart and at Sam's Club. And we have a new book called God's Wisdom for Sisters in Faith, which is a gift book, which will probably be in your grocery stores, in that kiosk, and also be in Christian bookstores. So let me jump right into this. I have had so much fun preparing for this, and it just has really inspired me to want to dig deeper into the Word of God about what God's wisdom is. And there's some places in your scripture, if you have a Bible nearby, please grab it, because I'm going to make a lot of scripture references tonight. So I'm going to start off right away. So one warning, I'm going to bring you a little low to bring you high, but I have a reason for it. So wisdom, as we know it, signifies to gain or to show discernment or insight. So I'm going to start really by talking about what wisdom is not, which is why I said that I'm going to bring you a little low to bring you high. So I'm going to start off with Genesis 3:6. In Genesis, as you know, this is the Garden of Eden, and God forbid Adam and Eve to partake of the fruit from the tree of life. And Eve, you know, sat around, she listened to that serpent, she listened to that devil, and she saw, and remember, we talk about she saw, she used her eyes, and she saw that the apple was good for food. She also saw that it was pleasurable to the eyes, and she also desired that she had heard that it would make her wise, which means she kind of lusted after this fruit, thinking, this will make me really wise. Now, you got to think about who told her that that apple or that fruit was going to make her wise. So she saw, she took it, and she ate it. This was a process that she could have stopped at any point. And you know, sometimes that happens to us. We start down this slippery slope, and at any point we could stop it. But if we had just not started down that path, we wouldn't have wound up where we wound up. Wisdom would have been for her not to even have started that process, not even have gone over to that tree in the first place and even gone to look at that apple. That's why our thought life is so important, is because some of the things that we do that are not wisdom and that even fall into sin would never have happened if we hadn't even just decided to park on the thinking about something. So Eve didn't stop there. Eve took another step. She persuaded Adam with the same arguments that the devil gave her. She persuaded him to eat some of that apple first. Now, that's gossiping. You know, she repeated what somebody else told her, and she ignored what God said. And, you know, here's the process that happened. She had already eaten of the apple, so she already knew the effects of what happened when she ate it before she offered it up to Adam. But she offered it up to Adam anyway. She already knew the effects, but there's kind of this philosophy that misery kind of loves company. In Wesley's commentary notes, he says this implied the unbelief of God's word and confidence in the devil's. Think about that. Devil told her that it was okay for her to eat this apple, even though God had told her not to and he had forbid her to eat it. So this implied the unbelief of God's word and the confidence in the devil's. The sin in the Garden of Eden was not just eating an apple or eating a piece of fruit. It was disobedience, or as my pastor has termed it, self-rule. Let me explain it this way. If Eve had even sat there and contemplated eating that apple, in other words, she didn't just take what God said, but she said, I'm going to figure out whether this apple is good for me or not. And you know what? That apple looks kind of good. Let me turn it over. Let me look at it. Oh, it's got some worms in it. You know what? I'm not going to eat it because it has worms in it. She still would have been disobedient to God, even though she didn't eat the apple, because there was self-rule involved. She didn't listen to God. She decided, I'll figure this out on my own. I'm making my own decision here. So then after Adam and Eve both took a bite of that apple, what happened? Both of their eyes were open, the word says. That's kind of the uh-oh. And they looked and they saw that they were naked. Now, we all take that to mean physically they were naked, which they were, but more importantly, they were naked because they were stripped of their intimacy with the Father. You see, in the Garden of Eden at the beginning, Adam and Eve walked with God like we walk with an old friend. They could hear his voice. They could feel his love. I mean, just the intimacy with the Father of creation. And that intimacy was gone, and so was grace and favor, and they fell into separation and sin and a conviction. And they were naked, no longer clothed in the covering of God. So what did they do? Instead of turning to God and repenting and saying, Father, we're sorry, they tried to hide from him. Like that was going to do them any good, but they tried to hide from him, their Father who loved them and who created them. And they covered themselves with fig leaves in an attempt to cover their sin from each other. Now, this is an interesting thing. They weren't hiding their nakedness from God when they covered themselves with a fig leaf. They had, you can't cover yourself and say, God doesn't know I'm naked. Come on now. They were hiding their nakedness from each other, more concerned about hiding their nakedness from each other than about repenting and facing God. And that's how we are sometimes. There was no wisdom in the garden that day. Now, I've painted a very dark picture here. And it was a very dark day for mankind as they turned from God to the depravity of their own sin. So, okay, let's take a deep breath. I didn't mean to depress everybody. And let me show you why it took you so low to come up so high. God's wisdom is his word. It's what he says. Do you see that if they just did what God said, they would have demonstrated God's wisdom by accepting his word just because he said it, and for no other reason not because they thought about it and thought it was a good idea, but just because God said it. That was a demonstration of having the wisdom of God. Not eating was wisdom. Now let me turn this over and let's look at another example of the wise. We all know King Solomon was wise, not because he was the smartest guy, but because he asked God for wisdom. And I'm going to read this scripture word for word because I just don't think anybody can tell a story better than God does sometimes in the Bible. So this is, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to 1 Kings 3, verses 5 through 15. And this was, as you know, Solomon was the son of David, and he became king. His mom kind of helped arrange that. She kind of stepped in there a little bit and kind of helped that. But it was always ordained that Solomon would be king after his father. So at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart." Hear this. "Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, or have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. And I would say, or was it? Anyway, Solomon was humble and he came before God and he said, "I don't know what I'm doing here. And I need discernment, which translates into wisdom. I need wisdom here, God. I need it." And so he asked for it. Now, I want to look at Solomon had an encounter with our sister, the Queen of Sheba. Now, Sheba heard all about this wisdom of Solomon. And, you know, Solomon built the temple, and this was after he'd built the temple. Queen of Sheba, who was the queen of a southern nation, which is clearly an African nation, that she came up with all this fanfare. She came with elephants and with, you know, jewels and with food. She brought everything. She brought everything with her. And this was like two heads of state meeting. You know, she had heard about Solomon. Believe me, Solomon had heard about this woman who was the head of state. And so the two of them met, and she came with the intention, really, to test Solomon. But make no mistake, Sheba was smart on her own. She was a wise woman. She was smart on her own. She knew the things of the world. You know, she didn't get to be a head of state just because she was cute. She got, which I understand she was that too, but she was very smart and she was very discerning. And so if you look at the, I guess it's chapter 10 of 1 Kings, and it's also repeated in 1 Chronicles 9, she shared everything. She sat down with Solomon, and they had a true meeting of the minds. She sat down with him, and she just shared everything, all her heart. She shared, and this was not, you know, just her heart, meaning she poured out her feelings to him. She just sat down and had really a heart-to-heart with him, asked him all the hard questions, asked him everything about his faith, asked him about this God that he worshipped, asked him about how he ruled, asked him about his people. All the hard questions. And when she was done, this is what she said. She said, Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. She thought a lot of this man. And when she left, he gave her gold and he gave her everything. Because, see, at the end of the day, both of them understood that the gold and the wealth and everything else and all the trappings of being wealthy and being head of state and being at the top, because there wasn't anybody that was richer, smarter, handsomer, anything other than Solomon. And like the Lord said, there wouldn't be anybody else. But still, they knew that the most important thing was the riches of having God's wisdom. And so when Sheba left there, she left with a whole lot more than what she brought. So exactly, I've given you two examples, one of a lack of wisdom that happened in the garden and one of true wisdom. And I wasn't there that day with Sheba and Solomon meeting, but I'm going to trust what Sheba thought of Solomon, because she saw a man who was just full of the wisdom of God. So exactly what is God's wisdom and how do you get it? And I'm telling you, you got to get it. In James 3:17, it says that wisdom that comes from heaven, it has 8 characteristics when it's wisdom that comes from heaven. One, it's pure. It's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. I'm going to say that again. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. So to get wisdom, that's what wisdom is. That's actually the byproduct of wisdom. And to get wisdom, it says you got to start with fearing the Lord. And Job, it says it over and over again. I mean, I can pick several passages where it says you got to fear the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. Job 28:28 says the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. You know, look at the two stories I gave you. Adam and Eve clearly had no fear of God when they were sinning. Nowhere, when you've ever read that story, did you hear that Eve approached that fruit shaking in her boots. She strolled right up. She heard what that devil said, ignored what God said, walked up to that tree and grabbed that fruit and ate it. And then when she realized what she had done to misery, she wanted to put Adam in it. And Adam, who was actually the one who was told, you know, people always kind of really want to blame Eve and kind of let Adam off. I'm taking a little rabbit trail here, but let Adam off the hook. But the truth of the matter is, if you read the Bible, Eve wasn't there when she hadn't even been made when God said, don't eat that fruit. She heard that God said it through Adam. So they both knew that God didn't want them to eat it. And, of course, when God approached them, the first thing Adam did was say, she told me to eat it. You know, so the first thing he wanted to do is to blame Eve. But both of them were accountable in the garden. In Psalm 111:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who know his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. It also says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. So, in other words, long life and reward for the Trekkies, live long and prosper. So, first thing is to fear the Lord. Two is to ask for wisdom. Proverbs 4 says the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. I'm going to read that one again. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it cost all you have, get understanding. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it be given to you. So what I'm saying is, if you want God's wisdom, simply ask. And don't let stuff like, why should he give me some wisdom? You know, who am I to get God's wisdom? You know, I'm fine with the wisdom I've got. First of all, I've already said that the word says, above all else, get wisdom. If it costs you everything you got, get God's wisdom. Because at the end of the day, that's all there is. And then you got to ask for it. All you got to do is asking for it. And he'll give it to you. Trust me. Say, God, let me have some wisdom in it. Just like Solomon, God's no respecter of persons. No different. You are no different than Solomon, who humbled himself before the Lord and said, Lord, please give me wisdom. I don't know what I'm doing here. God will give it to you when you ask. But still, some of you I know are saying, I still can't touch and feel what this wisdom is. So here's what God's wisdom is. And again, I'm going to read this because it's so clear. And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 31. And then I'm just going to pick up a little bit of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Now, how many people do you know who are not real smart, but when it comes to things of the Bible, they can quote you verse and chapter. They can talk about Jesus like they were talking about, you know, rocket science. They are smart beyond belief. And then when you see them in their day job, you know, they're like, you know, not that smart. It says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. What that means is, when you have hit rock bottom and you don't think there's any place else to go, and you think that you're not strong enough or smart enough or you don't know enough, and you put yourself in God's hands, all of a sudden that all changes. And God delights in doing that because he wants to show the world that it's not the world who brings wisdom, it's him that brings wisdom. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Let me say that again. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. My sisters on this phone, you got to get that Jesus is our wisdom. He's our wisdom. You know, we're wise not because we know a lot in this world, not because we went to good schools or good colleges. We're wise because we have Christ in our life, because we've accepted him, and he has brought us from lowly places, and he has elevated us. Look at all of us. I'm sure a lot of you ladies out there have testimonies about things that you had no idea you would be good at, and God elevated you to a place that you couldn't even imagine by yourself. I'm that testimony. I'm that testimony. Who would have ever known that I'd be talking to you ladies tonight about the things of the Lord? You know, I wouldn't have. I would never have guessed it. But the Lord takes things. Who would know that I would have even an ability to get on a phone and talk to you ladies about things of the Lord? But it's not me. It's the God who is within me that allows me to talk to you about things about him. There is no wisdom in me by myself, but I have the mind of Christ, and that makes me wise. And you know, when I boast, and I say, you know what, I am good at this. I am this is where my talents are. This is where my giftings are. I'm not boasting in me. I'm boasting because these are all things that God has given me. Some of them I've asked for. Some of them I haven't. But they're all gifts from my Father. And God is not a respecter of persons. If you want something, ask God for it. If you need something, ask God for it. He is faithful even when we aren't. I'm going to take this call now off of lecture mode. And if someone has a question, I'm happy to answer it.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Okay, ladies, is there anyone who has a question or anyone who has a comment?
Michelle, this is Stephanie Moore. I just wanted to thank you for your heart and such a great word in leading our call tonight. I want to leave room for questions, but I wanted to let you know that you just bless us, not just with your word, but with also your life.
Oh, thank you. That's my partner, Stephanie, who we thought wasn't going to be able to join us tonight. Thank you, Stephanie. Do we have any other questions?
I don't have any questions. I'm just a caller that gets on. Thanks for the invitation from Stephanie, as always. I just wanted to say that, you know, your reading of the scripture was very enlightening, and I love listening each week because you're able to break it down into something that we can understand and turn it into real life for us. So I just wanted to say thank you that your reading of the scripture tonight was very, very helpful, as always.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you.
Hi, this is Tracy Bonaparte. I was invited by Karen, Karen Clark, and I too want to say thank you, Michelle, for having this line made available. I'm just sorry that it's the last one. I pray that it's going to come on again. Uh-huh. But I just wanted to say thank you for your insight and the wisdom that you've given us tonight. It was a great teaching, and thank God for you walking in your calling.
Okay, thank you, Tracy, for joining us.
God bless you, my sister Michelle. This is your sister Karen, and we are really blessed today. I think others from New Hope Church out in New Jersey, of which Lady Tracy is our first lady, were really blessed. I certainly bless you, sis.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Karen, for joining us. I think my other sisters are on, too. Thank you all for joining us. This is our last one because we've gone through all of our contributors to the Bible, and we hope that at some later point we will start again. We've kind of exhausted the topics that we had in the Bible, but we have some other ones, and we will pick this back up again. In the meantime, all the ones that you didn't hear, we started this January 15th, and we've been doing every Tuesday night. They are all posted on our website at thesistersinfaith.com. I really thank all of you for joining us, and you have blessed Stephanie and I immensely. We started this brand because we wanted to let women know that they were not in this alone, that we have built our vertical relationship with Christ, but God meant for us to have relationship one with another. And so I bless every single one of you, all of you. I have my natural sisters on the call tonight, but all of you are my spiritual sisters, and I thank all of you. May God bless you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we leave this place, Lord, I ask that all the things that the ladies have heard tonight, Lord, that those things that are of you, Lord, would be buried deep in their heart, Lord. Anything that wasn't, Lord, let it fall away as ashes. Lord, I lift each one of them up, Lord. I ask for their continued health. I bless their families and their children and their spouses. And, Lord, I bless their jobs and their friends and everyone that surrounds them, Lord. Put a hedge of protection around them, Lord, as they go through their week. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Good night, ladies, and we thank you for joining us.
Thank you, natural
thank you.
Sister.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
Bye-bye.
See you
bye-bye.
Soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hello?
You're all hanging up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.